This is, do you sacrifice animals on stage?
No, absolutely not. But I've hit my drummers in the past in the face on stage.
Okay, this.
I don't know if that's an animal.
No, that's.
Well, right. That was an animal on the Muppet.
Did you endorse mass shootings?
No, absolutely not.
But so why you in Columbine?
Because I happen to have a song in The Matrix that just come out, and they're shooting, and I had a video on TV called Rock is Dead. The kids weren't even fans of me.
Okay, here's a, this is a bizarre rumor, okay? It is said on the internet, Marilyn Manson pretends to smoke pot because Snoop Dogg does.
No, that's not true at all, because I did smoke marijuana cigarette with Snoop Dogg, if he were to smoke marijuana.
Days leading up to the show, protesters surrounded the Coliseum. A small but vocal group objected to Manson's image, music, and reputation.
You are listening to the Marilyn Manson Cases Podcast, the podcast discussing the accusations, lawsuits, and legal news surrounding shock rocker Marilyn Manson. Please note topics include allegations of abuse, some may find disturbing.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Marilyn Manson Cases Podcast. My name is Lisa, also known as the Manson Cases on social media. Today is a special bonus episode due to the latest developments in the past week. Specifically, these updates relate to Jane Doe's civil trial against Marilyn Manson. If you have been listening to this podcast, then you know the trial is coming up on October 3rd in Los Angeles, and this will be the first accuser to successfully take Manson to trial. But keep in mind, this is not a criminal trial, where there are charges, because at this time, Manson has not been charged with any crimes, and the investigation is still pending with the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. With that in mind, it's also worth reminding everyone that while a trial is still occurring, it can also settle at any time. Because of the significant updates in the lawsuit in the past week, I will be breaking down the legal arguments into shorter summaries. To start, on September 18th, Jane Doe's attorney, Adam Wolf, filed 5 new legal documents in relation to requesting sanctions against Marilyn Manson. According to a new legal filing, Jane Doe's attorney asserts Manson's behavior during the discovery phase is a problem, and they want sanctions. First, if you don't know what the discovery phase is, it is simply the process by which both parties exchange information and evidence. In this case, Jane Doe's attorney is arguing that Manson misused the discovery phase process and is arguing why Manson should be sanctioned and what those sanctions should be. Sanctions relate to when a plaintiff, defendant, or attorney fails to comply with discovery rules or orders. While sanctions are usually in the form of monetary value, what Jane Doe is requesting for sanctions would be a problem for Manson's defense. But before I get ahead of myself, let's talk more specifics surrounding this sanctions request. One issue Jane Doe raises relates to Manson's answers to the allegations in this lawsuit, where he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights. The Fifth Amendment is the constitutional right to remain silent, the refusal to answer questions, or to not provide information which could be used to incriminate him. Steve, an attorney on YouTube known as Southern Law, briefly discusses the Fifth Amendment in relation to Jane Doe's sanctions request. You will also hear more of his commentary throughout this podcast episode. Take a listen.
All right, so this is going to some degree, surround the issue of the Fifth Amendment, okay, to the United States Constitution. And part of that says you can't be compelled to incriminate yourself. So you'll see that invoked in, sometimes before trial, but also at trial, the defendant doesn't testify and the state can't make them testify. You could also do it in civil cases, and maybe you know that, maybe you don't, because you can't be compelled to testify there either. However, it can have a lot different consequences depending on whether you're doing it in criminal court or a civil case. Because in civil case, the refusal to testify can sometimes lead to issues for the defendant. It can be a risk situation because if you decide at the last minute, well, I think I do want to testify in criminal court, okay. But in civil court, that can be an issue because you've deprived the other civil party, not the state, the civil party, the ability to do discovery, to find out what your testimony is ahead of time while they've had the ability to depose the plaintiff in the case. So sometimes the court will say, well, no, you waited too long. I'm not going to let you change your mind at the last second in the civil case because you're just gaming the system here. Right. So that's a risk if you're invoking the Fifth and you want to change it at the last minute. Basically, the idea is, yes, you can obviously exercise this constitutional right, but in a civil context, you can't do it to game the system, either to create unnecessary undue delay or to otherwise prejudice the plaintiff unfairly. And of course, that's what's being said in this case. But is it really what is happening? And it's only part of what's going on in this case.
Initially, when Manson filed his answers in response to this lawsuit, he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights to avoid providing detailed responses to discovery requests. These answers were due during a time of an active criminal investigation, and not long before the raid on his home, which was widely reported on, occurring in the same month, which is important context as we continue to talk about this topic, as typically, the Fifth Amendment is used during criminal investigations. However, it is not uncommon to be used during civil lawsuits, especially when an active investigation is occurring. Yet, even though this is a standard legal move, what comes next is what Jane Doe's attorney alleges is the problem. Jane Doe claims that, almost 2 years after Manson's initial responses to her lawsuit were filed, and just 12 days before the deadline for discovery, Manson suddenly revoked his Fifth Amendment privilege to remain silent. And he did so with a quote, mere 12 days before the discovery cutoff. By Manson revoking this constitutional right, he then answered questions by amending the previous answers, which revealed 11 new witnesses for trial and produced new documents, communications, and videos in his defense. Jane Doe alleges these new documents are something Manson previously swore under penalty of perjury did not exist. But this alleged last-minute shift in approach is what Jane Doe's attorney considers a significant problem for his client. Another dimension of this issue is Jane Doe's argument that Manson made three contradictory statements, all of which were made under the threat of perjury regarding the presence of written communications within his possession. The first statement was issued on November 1, 2021, in response to Jane Doe's request for all communications exchanged between them. In Manson's initial responses, he affirmed, after conducting a diligent search and reasonable inquiry, responding party has determined he is not in possession, custody, or control of any responsive documents. It's crucial to note that this sworn statement was provided before the Sheriff's Department confiscated his devices as part of its criminal investigation. The second statement, as highlighted by Jane Doe's attorney, pertains to a plea to postpone the trial date earlier this summer. According to Jane Doe's legal counsel, Manson, under the threat of perjury, stated that nearly all of his digital devices had been seized by law enforcement on or around November 29, 2021, and that these devices likely contain substantial communications between him and Jane Doe. The third statement occurred after Manson's request for a new trial date was denied. Following this denial, Manson provided amended responses after waiving his right to remain silent and subsequently produced communications exchanged between him and Jane Doe. This part can be a little confusing, but in short, the attorney brings up these three statements because his overall argument is that Manson abused the discovery process by withholding this evidence from her back in November 2021. But more on that later. In response, Jane Doe is now seeking a judge to sanction Manson. She is claiming to aim to prevent him from testifying on subjects he previously chose not to address, which basically seems like every answer Manson just amended since revoking his Fifth Amendment right. However, Jane Doe distinguishes this by highlighting that Manson's decision to waive his Fifth Amendment privilege wasn't due to the conclusion of the criminal investigation, but rather appears to be a strategic legal maneuver. Furthermore, Jane Doe's attorney contends that Manson provided untruthful statements while under oath in his initial discovery responses, with allegations that Manson only recently unearthed certain communications, whereas before, he stated he conducted a thorough search but could not find anything. Making it a point to state this was part of his answers before Manson's digital devices were seized as part of a criminal investigation.
The plaintiff is not arguing that you can't plead the Fifth in a civil case because that obviously you can. But what the plaintiff is basically saying is you can't use that to game the case. You can't withhold evidence for surprise and prejudice against the plaintiff and then at the last second change your mind and expect to be able to just come into court and do whatever you want. 12 days left in discovery. And, you know, okay, so that makes sense. The argument makes sense. Now, that's not to say it's a correct argument or the better argument, because we haven't gone over Manson's side yet. But you see the point here, right? There would definitely be some circumstances where this would be unfair in a civil court to change your mind at the last second. But not every circumstance is going to be like that, or else why would you have the ability to waive your privilege later?
Last, Jane Doe asserts that she would have pursued an entirely different approach to third-party discovery, involving interviews and arranging trial testimonies, and more from over a dozen women who have made similar allegations of rape and abuse against Manson, if she would have had proper time. In response from Manson's attorney, Howard King, we learn a significant detail not mentioned in Jane Doe's sanctions request. Notably, Jane Doe introduced an entirely new allegation during her recent deposition involving a soundproof room in Manson's former apartment, where she claims Manson locked her in. She also asserted that she continues to recall additional memories from over a decade ago, none of which were part of her initial lawsuit.
Now, Manson also says, listen, I'm also having to adapt to new claims she's making. Yeah, I was standing on the privilege earlier, but she keeps adding things. And so that changes how we're going to address the case as well. For example, he says, I need some of these witnesses to rebut what she's now saying, that she was locked in the soundproof room. And Manson says, I have people who will say that that didn't exist there. And it's certainly not a locked soundproof room. And she didn't move in like she said she did. So he's saying the increased scope of memories that the plaintiff is saying she has causes him to have to adjust how he's going to address the case. And that is a logical point.
King argues that it would be unjust to prevent Manson from presenting evidence and information that was disclosed well in advance. As it pertains to Manson waiving his Fifth Amendment right to silence, King states Manson did so 13 days before fact discovery closed, 41 days before trial, and he offered his deposition, which she had scheduled and will take before these motions are heard. He also asserts that Manson's decision to waive his Fifth Amendment rights was timely and fully compliant with current legal standards. According to King, Manson waived his Fifth Amendment privileges 41 days before trial and could have potentially waited 10 days before trial to do so, and that Manson's previous responses from November 2021 explicitly reserved his right to waive the privilege at a later date, a right that Jane Doe did not challenge for over a year and a half.
So he says, look, we always reserve the right to waive privilege later, and the plaintiff never challenged that by bringing the issue to the court. Okay, so they were on notice that I may decide later to waive the challenge, and only now when I do it is the plaintiff coming forward. And that's going to matter when you take this into context of the timing of things and what the possible remedies are. Now, Manson also says, listen, the trial could be delayed. Okay, I mean, we asked for it to be delayed, Manson says, and the plaintiff actually stipulated or was agreeing to that until they found out that the next court date was like 1,000 years from now, which isn't Manson's fault, and it's not the Jane Doe's fault either, right? The court system backed up, and it's amazing they can't get them on the docket faster than they said. But I think when Jane Doe heard that, the attorneys on that side said, and we're not going to stipulate to it, that's just too long. But Manson has a good point that if the plaintiff feels prejudiced at this point and that she can't go to trial fairly, then an answer could be another delay rather than I'm banning Manson out of the game. And I think to get past that, you have to show that Manson set this up so that this really would happen, like there would be no way to deal with what he's doing here. And in that case, the court might want to sanction him more. But if not, the court shouldn't jump to the most severe sanction. There has not been, to my knowledge, a motion to compel or any kind of discovery motion to try and force this issue earlier. This would be the court's first attempt to address it. And you usually don't drop a nuclear bomb on the other side for a discovery sanction at the first motion.
Furthermore, King emphasizes that Manson provided Jane Doe with more notice than required by the Court of Appeals to avoid unfair prejudice and surprise at trial, arguing that the deadline for waiving the Fifth Amendment privilege could be as late as 10 days prior to a trial. And with Jane Doe making new allegations at her deposition, King states she offers no reason why Manson should not testify about topics that Manson did not invoke the right to remain silent to. In this case, her new allegation made weeks ago about being locked in a soundproof room in his apartment, and claims made during this deposition that she continues to recover new memories from more than 10 years ago and made weeks before trial. Even so, King argues that Jane Doe cannot reasonably claim prejudice. Manson also offered to provide his deposition, which Jane Doe scheduled and agreed to take before these motions would be heard by a judge in court.
He gave her 1 month more notice than the Court of Appeals has said would be sufficient in this situation to avoid unfair prejudice and surprise to an opposing party. And he quotes this case, Fuller versus Superior Court, saying, as a hypothetical, I think in that situation, the deadline for waiving the Fifth Amendment privilege could be set as late, for instance, as 10 days before trial. So I think the idea there was that somebody was trying to claim the Fifth, or they were claiming the Fifth, and the plaintiff was upset about it and trying to get an issue in front of the court, but they hadn't noticed the deposition yet or something like that. So the Court of Appeals, in addressing it, says, listen, one of the lower sanctions you could do is say, okay, if you stand on this appeal, I'm going to put a firm deadline. And if you don't decide to waive it before more than, say, 10 days before trial or 30 or whatever the trial court does, if you pass that Rubicon, I'm not going to let you change your mind after that. And again, that's a lesser form of a sanction, right? So the court's in that case is not saying, okay, you can't testify. They're saying that the court could put an order in place that sets out the expectations of the party clearly. So if the guy wants to stand on his Fifth Amendment privilege and knows if I wait until 10 days before trial, I can't change my mind after that in the civil case, that seems fair. But because they made that comment, and there's not too much law on this, Manson's team is saying that the Court of Appeals has already said that an order 10 days before trial would withstand muster, and we gave her more than 40 days notice. So we're more than 1 month earlier than the Court of Appeals has said, okay. I don't know that every jurisdiction would say 10 days is enough notice to a party, but Manson is correct that the Court of Appeals said what he's quoting here. So he's got a good point. Applying the principles from other cases where defendants have faced the same dilemma of choosing the Fifth and fully defending a civil action, the plaintiff cannot show prejudice because Warner notified her of his waiver 13 days before discovery close, 41 days before trial, and offered his deposition, which he had scheduled and will take before these motions are heard. So, you know, what he says in his deposition could matter to some of these things, but I think that's good points for Manson, as well as the idea that if you suddenly find that you can't prosecute your case because of this, then a delay would also be another answer if the court doesn't think there's sufficient time at this point. And then you could put these deadlines in place and stuff like that. So you got to weigh that against the idea that the alternative is what the plaintiff is asking for, which is do not let him testify in his own defense at his trial and don't let these newly noticed witnesses testify, which is a pretty severe sanction. And asking the court to go straight to that, that's a tall ask under the law, I think, and maybe particularly under California law.
As it relates to the claims made by Jane Doe's attorney that Manson made three contradictory statements under the penalty of perjury, Manson's attorney responds to this. Here is what he has to say for each claim. Keep in mind that the plaintiff is Jane Doe and the defendant is Manson. Quote, plaintiff argues Warner engaged in gamesmanship by stating in a November 2021 discovery response that he had no communications with her in his possession, and later producing a handful of communications he subsequently found on a hard drive in storage. She has not shown this was intentional, as opposed to an innocent and inadvertent oversight, which it was. Indeed, if such a correction were sanctionable, then plaintiff's counsel's misrepresentation to this court in his initial sworn declaration that Warner disclosed 11 new witnesses in August 2023, which plaintiff now claims was an inadvertent oversight, would be equally sanctionable, but Warner does not seek any such sanctions. What's more, Warner produced the communications 41 days before trial, and plaintiff has not explained how she will be unduly prejudiced by the introduction of her own emails to Warner, aside from them contradicting her claims, which is not a reason to exclude them. Nor has plaintiff explained why she did not produce these highly relevant and contradictory emails, raising serious concerns about her own gamesmanship in this case. Furthermore, there are also two new declarations detailing this further, one from Howard King and one from Manson. Here is what Manson had to say in his own declaration. Quote, I, Brian Warner, declare as follows. I have personal knowledge of the facts set forth herein, and if called as a witness, I could and would competently testify thereto. On or about November 29, 2021, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department executed a search warrant at my then home and seized my digital devices, including laptop computers, iPhones, and external hard drives. Collectively, the Sheriff's Department seized 3 Apple laptops, 24 external hard drives, 3 Apple iPhones, and many USB and SD drives. I believe that these devices contain communications between me and plaintiff from 2011 that are inconsistent with and will contradict her claims, which have not been produced in discovery and which I have not been able to otherwise locate. The Sheriff's Department has informed me these devices will not be returned until the criminal investigation has concluded. On November 1st, 2021, I signed a discovery response stating that I had no communications with plaintiff in my possession. At the time, I believed that was an accurate statement because I had searched my current phone, computer, email accounts, and cloud storage for communications with her and did not find any. At the time, it did not occur to me that communications with her might exist on some of my old devices in storage at my house and an off-site storage unit I was renting. When the Sheriff's Department later searched my house and storage unit and seized my old digital devices, I realized that they might contain communications with plaintiff from 2011 that were not uploaded to the cloud. Later, when going through boxes and storage that the Sheriff's Department did not seize, I found an old external hard drive that I then searched. On it, I found a small number of communications with plaintiff from 2011 that I provided to my counsel. I understand from counsel that all of those communications were produced on August 23, 2023, after I elected to waive my Fifth Amendment rights and respond to discovery requests to which I previously invoked it. I continue to believe that this is not a full set of my 2011 communications with plaintiff, and that more likely exist on the devices currently held by the Sheriff's Department. The inaccuracy in my November 1st, 2021 discovery responses was not intentional. Rather, it was simply an oversight by me in remembering what devices I had more than 10 years ago, and realizing what devices might contain my old communications with plaintiff. I declare under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of California that the foregoing is true and correct. The judge must weigh both sides' arguments to determine whether proper conduct was followed. Upon reviewing the legal filings, it's apparent that Jane Doe's attorney does not contest the propriety of revoking the Fifth Amendment, but rather asserts that the timing was an issue. Manson's attorney makes a valid point that Jane Doe had nearly 2 years to conduct her own third-party discovery, particularly on witnesses she could have expected to testify on behalf of him, some of whom are named in her own lawsuit. In a previous podcast episode, I discussed how both parties once attempted to delay the trial by 6 months to April 2024. In this filing, King contends that Jane Doe's withdrawal during the hearing implies her insistence on proceeding while hindering the jury from receiving highly relevant evidence. King emphasizes the significance of this, citing that before binding an opposing party to earlier discovery responses, the Code of Civil Procedure mandates the propounding party to demonstrate that any alleged prejudice cannot be rectified by a continuance to permit further discovery, which Jane Doe does not address in her sanctions request. While this might sound confusing overall, it basically means that there has to be a sort of prejudice against her, and King is arguing that there is none. Manson's attorney then urges the court not to lend any credence to Jane Doe's improper attempt to tarnish his reputation throughout her motions. Under the guise of the litigation privilege, she repeatedly makes defamatory and unsupported allegations that label him a serial sex offender in legal filings. King notes that Jane Doe provides no substantiated evidence to support this false claim, and Manson has never been legally adjudicated in any court, whether civil or criminal, for any such offense. With Jane Doe being aware that one of the individuals who accused Manson publicly recanted her allegations, admitting she had been manipulated by others into making false claims. Further, King states these scandalous claims of Manson being a serial sex offender holds no relevance to the legal or evidentiary matters in question, including Jane Doe's claims themselves. They should be disregarded. As I've been recording this episode over the past few days, three new legal filings have emerged that are directly related to the sanctions arguments. This comes from Manson's attorney, Howard King, and adds important context. Given that I've already covered the primary points of Manson's arguments, I'll focus on the newly revealed information from these filings. First and foremost, these filings provide new insights into what Jane Doe's attorney is disputing as new evidence. What King argues is that this evidence is something Jane Doe failed to disclose during the discovery process, as it is her emails to Manson, and Jane Doe does not explain in her sanctions request why she did not produce these highly relevant and contradictory emails, raising serious concerns about her own gamesmanship in this case, which is literally something she is accusing Manson of doing, King is asserting that because she failed to disclose all of her communications with Manson, that she now wants what she is calling new evidence to be excluded at trial. Even though these are not new, she should have produced them to begin with. Plus, her emails to Manson directly contradict two significant claims made in her lawsuit. Here is what Howard King has to say in one of these new legal filings. Quote, plaintiff seeks to exclude her own communications to Warner from the time period at issue that contradict her claims and which she failed to produce. These include an email she sent him after she alleges he was already terrorizing her, stating that you are the man I want to be with and I'd like nothing more than to take a bubble bath with you. And an email sending Warner 9 pictures of herself in lingerie, including close-ups of her cleavage and buttocks, after she alleges he had committed the first sexual assault against her. She also seeks to preclude Warner from testifying at all on the theory that he notified her too late that he would be waiving the Fifth Amendment to dispute her false claims, even though he notified her 13 days before fact discovery closed, 41 days before trial, and he offered his deposition, which she has scheduled and will take before this motion is heard. In addition, Howard King also says this in another new legal filing, quote, plaintiff has not explained how she will be unduly prejudiced by the introduction of her own emails to Warner, aside from them contradicting her claims, which is not a reason to exclude them. Nor has plaintiff explained why she did not produce these highly relevant and contradictory emails, raising serious concerns about her own gamesmanship in this case. It appears that King is arguing that Jane Doe does not want her own contradictory emails between her and Manson, that she failed to provide during discovery, to be used against her. Moreover, her failure to produce these emails during the discovery process implies a deliberate omission, which makes it appear that she was withholding this evidence. And while these new legal filings do not include them, there is verbiage from the filings. One email sent from Jane Doe to Manson was sent on April 23, 2011. This is a month after Manson allegedly terrorized her by forcing her to watch the groupie video where she alleges Manson repeatedly screamed and repeatedly threatened her. The email says, quote, I've always thought it utterly pathetic and unnecessary for a woman to chase after a man, and so I don't want to keep pestering you. But as I said before, I adore you and think it's worth fighting for. So one last time, I'm letting you know that I miss you, that I would love to be there for you, that you needn't be alone, that you are the man I want to be with, that I don't want to take you away from what you love, and that I'd like nothing more than to take a bubble bath with you. Another email she sent to Manson is from June 15, 2011. She sent him 9 photographs of herself in lingerie, including close-ups of her cleavage and buttocks, after she alleges he forced her to perform oral sex on him one day in early June. The first email from April 2011 seems to suggest they are not in a relationship at this time, and it sounds more like she is talking about wanting another chance at a relationship. This is significant because on one hand, she claims she lived with Manson for months, and that the relationship ended in June 2011. On the other hand, this timeline also conflicts with other Manson accusers that claim to live with him at this time. One of them being Esme Bianco, who claimed she lived with Manson from April 2011 to June 2011. And that's not even including Ashley Smithline, who recanted her allegations earlier this year, and Jane Doe's June 2011 email, sent not long after she claims she was sexually assaulted, is sending him what sounds like intimate pictures. I can see why Jane Doe would not want these items at trial, but she has to now explain why she did not produce these communications to begin with. Which leads me to the new reply from Jane Doe's attorney. In this new reply, the attorney largely rehashes the same arguments in their sanctions request. So instead of going over the entirety of this reply, as it's really no different than the sanctions request, I'll go over more of the major points that is in response. This pertains to what Jane Doe referred to in her sanctions request as new evidence. This purported new evidence is what King states are her contradictory emails to Manson, that she is now disputing for trial, with King alleging she failed to produce these emails as part of discovery. Keep in mind that the plaintiff is Jane Doe and the defendant is Manson. Quote, plaintiff had not presented her repressed memory regarding being locked in a soundproof room until recently as a red herring. First, defendant never served supplemental written discovery, so Ms. Doe was never required to formally supplement her written responses. Second, defendant revoked his Fifth Amendment assertion and provided his amended responses before plaintiff's deposition on September 7, 2023. Any insinuation that he revoked his Fifth Amendment privilege because of this allegedly new testimony is inaccurate. Defendant attempts to mislead the court when he states plaintiff disclosed a new claim by testifying about being locked in a soundproof room. To be clear, there are no new claims. Plaintiff has not sought leave of court to file a second amended complaint, nor has she suggested in her testimony or in any other filing that she intends to bring any new claims. Plaintiff's claims in this case all relate to the sexual assaults. Plaintiff's testimony regarding being locked in a soundproof room was testimony elicited by the defendant's attorney at her deposition, a deposition defendants did not notice until the very last minute. The facts surrounding plaintiff being locked in a soundproof room are not necessary to prove a plaintiff's claims. Any surprise claimed by defendant about all new facts learned at plaintiff's deposition are the result of defendant's delay. In addition, defendant disclosed an alleged photo of the soundproof room on September 14, 2023, 7 days after her deposition, that, upon information and belief, was in his possession prior to his discovery responses. So let me unpack this real quick. Regarding the issue of a new memory, Jane Doe's attorney argues that it isn't genuinely new, she didn't repress it, and if Manson had formally requested a response, he would have been aware of it. They contend that if it were truly a new memory, they would have amended her lawsuit to include it. Instead, he argues, it's always been a part of her sexual assault claim. However, it's worth noting that this allegation is now included in the case statement submitted for trial, specifically adding the soundproof room as a prominent allegation for trial, meaning that they do intend to make this allegation one focal point at trial. In essence, her attorney appears to be arguing to the judge that this allegation isn't genuinely new and that Manson could have learned about it earlier if he had not invoked the right to remain silent back in 2021, which is his constitutional right. Now, when it comes to the revocation of the Fifth Amendment, things can get a little confusing. Since Jane Doe's attorney argues that this isn't a new allegation, but part of her overall sexual assault claims, he contends this was overall still a strategy to abuse the discovery process, and that Manson revoking his Fifth Amendment rights was used against her to basically sandbag her last minute before trial, so nothing has really changed with the argument overall there. But Manson revoked the Fifth Amendment a couple of weeks prior to this deposition taking place, where they then received this new evidence before her deposition. So in some sense, it could give the appearance that, since they waited nearly a month to bring this up as an issue, and after the deposition, that the issue isn't that she was sandbagged, but there was evidence presented at her deposition that refutes her allegations. That's speculation, of course, but it is something the judge will have to consider is why they waited nearly a month to make this officially an issue to address. Also, this is, in fact, a new allegation. And my understanding from speaking to three attorneys is that Manson has the right to present evidence and witnesses to dispute it. And one of the attorneys even suggested, before seeing King's response, that he likely could have done it even closer to trial. I reached out to Southern Law for his perspective on this response to the new allegations when I reviewed these documents yesterday. This is what he had to say, quote, "It seems like lawyers arguing over what it is. True, it's not a new claim in the sense her legal claims for relief have not changed, but she's claiming he did something not mentioned before. It's really a new allegation. But unless otherwise required, you don't have to set out every allegation in your complaint. Complaints are only required to indicate a basis for the legal claims and not be particular about everything. Some claims are different and do require particularity. So I think she's okay to bring it up now, but it's also okay for Manson to say, well, then I need to be able to present evidence to rebut it." Moving forward, I want to explore the issue surrounding the witnesses and discuss some of the witnesses already named in dispute. Some of the witnesses in dispute and are named specifically in the filings are two of Manson's former band members, Jordy White and Chris Vrenna, Manson's former manager, Tony C.O. Law, Manson's former personal assistant, Ashley Walters, who is already testifying on behalf of Jane Doe, Pola Weiss, Lindsay, who is Manson's current wife, and Marilyn Manson himself. In Jane Doe's motion for sanctions, her attorney contends that Manson's prior invocation of the Fifth Amendment amounted to a refusal to disclose his defense witnesses. With Manson's recent decision to waive his right to remain silent and identify new witnesses, along with the alleged, quote, "sudden discovery of additional documents," Jane Doe's attorney argues that this maneuver constitutes an abuse of the discovery process, since it occurred a mere 12 days prior to the discovery deadline. Her attorney argues that these new witnesses should not be admissible, considering Manson had knowledge of them as far back as November 2021. The assertion is that Manson could have disclosed them to Jane Doe at that time. And if he had, this early disclosure would have provided the opportunity for Jane Doe to pursue documents from these witnesses, conduct depositions, and question others based on the deposition testimony. In response, Manson's attorney argues that the inclusion of these witnesses in Jane Doe's sanctions motion should not come as a surprise. Manson had notified her of their relevance weeks before her new allegations surfaced, and their identities were already known to her. Moreover, King contends that these witnesses possess valuable information to refute her recent claims of being confined in a non-existent soundproof room within Manson's apartment. Furthermore, King highlights that it should not be unexpected for Manson to have witnesses capable of challenging Jane Doe's assertion that she effectively moved in with him in 2011, as some of these individuals are the very witnesses she has named in her own lawsuit, notably Ashley Walters and Tony C. O'Law. Last, King emphasizes that Jane Doe has not provided any compelling reasons for Manson to be barred from presenting witnesses to testify about these new claims. In summary, the main differences between these arguments center around whether Manson's actions warrant sanctions. Jane Doe's attorney contends that Manson deliberately relinquished his Fifth Amendment rights last minute to evade revealing crucial trial-related details, creating a disadvantage for her just before trial. So, the issue is not Manson revoking the Fifth Amendment so much as it being alleged he did so to unfairly sandbag Jane Doe before trial. Additionally, her attorney asserts that Manson made conflicting statements, all under penalty of perjury, regarding the existence of specific written communications. On the other hand, Manson's attorney asserts that Manson's timing for waiving his Fifth Amendment rights was appropriate and provided ample notice to Jane Doe, thus averting unfair prejudice. His attorney emphasized Manson's prior responses, which reserved the right to waive the privilege, a right Jane Doe did not challenge for the last year and a half. Furthermore, Manson did not invoke the Fifth Amendment during all of the initial discovery responses in November 2021, as Jane Doe's sanctions filing would suggest. Meaning, this implies Manson did not plead the Fifth in all of his original responses, and considering Jane Doe's recent new allegations that were omitted to the judge in the sanctions request, Manson argues he has the right to defend himself against these new allegations since he never invoked the privilege to it. This includes witnesses Jane Doe would reasonably expect to testify, considering some of these witnesses are mentioned in her own lawsuit. In response, Jane Doe's attorney asserts that it's not a new claim, and they would have known this if he had not invoked the Fifth Amendment back in November 2021. And while Jane Doe alleges Manson lied three times under oath, King details in filings that this is not true. A new declaration from Manson explains when he found this new evidence, the circumstances of accidentally finding it after he invoked the Fifth Amendment, after he had already submitted discovery on some responses he did not remain silent on, that the evidence was found after his first answers were submitted, after the raid, at another location he never thought to look before. And when he found it back then, he gave it to his attorney. Comparing Jane Doe's own timeline of the three lies claim with Manson's own declaration, it would show that he did not lie. But Jane Doe is alleging he withheld and hid this evidence purposefully to abuse the discovery process. And King's argument is that he submitted evidence previously for items he did not plead the Fifth to, and that Manson later found these items on a hard drive in storage that the LASD did not seize, which is after he provided his official answers on November 1st, 2021. These sanctions arguments, and the nearly 20-plus filings related to it, are definitely messy. And keep in mind that either side's arguments might sound right or might sound wrong, but it's ultimately up to what is the law. But I hope this episode helps explain what both sides have been arguing in this sanctions saga. The court date for the judge in relation to sanctions on this is on Friday, September 29th, just a few short days away and days before trial. In the next episode, I will be covering the new witness list, new exhibits, and even the confirmation of who Jane Doe is based on a new joint filing signed by both parties. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest updates on the Marilyn Manson lawsuits and allegations, you can follow me on social media as The Manson Cases. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.